Well, Jesus is at it again, lobbing parables. Parables are not neatly packaged, simple stories that make clear, logical points. A parable is a teaching device. It is a story with a surprise. On the surface, a parable appears to say one thing, but there's something below the surface, something that is meant to rattle you, something that is meant to offend you, something that is meant to unsettle you into a different way of seeing and into a different way of thinking, into a different way of believing. If you come away from a parable and you say, that makes sense, then you probably missed it. Parables are absurd. They have this absurd element to them. They're not sensible. The point of a parable is not that you get it. The point of the parable is that a parable gets hold of you and shakes you up. Parables were some of Jesus' favorite teaching methods because Jesus loved to get hold of people and shake them up. Jesus went around lobbing parables at people time after time. And Jesus didn't like to, I explained this last week, Jesus didn't like to explain his parables. He didn't like to explain them. He didn't like to say, this means this, and this means this, and this is why. He didn't like to do that. Explaining a parable is like explaining a joke. If you have to explain it, then it loses its punch. So Jesus went around just lobbing parables at people and allowing these parables to do their work in people's lives. And today, Jesus has another parable to work on us. Would you stand as we go to Matthew chapter 20 this morning? Jesus just launches right into it. He begins this parable the way that he begins most of the parables. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner or a farmer who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, you also go work in my vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and he found still others standing around. And he asked them, why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his supervisor, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and then go into the first. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each of them received a denarius. So when those who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you've made them equal to us who've borne the burden of the work in the heat of the day. But the farmer answered one of them, friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want the one who was hired last. I want to give that one the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So, the last will be first. The first will be last. Church, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated. You know, there are times in the Gospels where you can just feel Jesus' frustration. You can just sense it. It's there. It's palpable. Jesus' frustration with all the things that Jesus had to endure. You can just feel his frustration. In the stories that happen immediately before Jesus tells this parable, the Pharisees, they come to test Jesus. They come to trap him with a loaded question about divorce. And then after that, the story that I referenced a few moments ago in the dedication, these folks tried to bring their babies to Jesus, and the disciples stood there like bodyguards in the way and wouldn't let them get through. And Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." And then after that is the whole exchange with the rich young ruler who refused to follow Jesus because he wanted to hang on to what he had and didn't want to give it to the poor like Jesus called him to do. And so you can just feel at this point the mounting frustration within Jesus, his frustration toward the Pharisees for trying to trap him, his frustration toward the disciples for getting in the way of kids getting to him, his frustration with this would-be disciple, the rich young ruler, who won't get out of his own way. So Jesus did what Jesus does when he's frustrated with people. He lobbed a parable at him. And he began it with, "The kingdom of heaven is like..." And you get this sense when he begins the parables. When he begins the parables this way, Jesus is just yearning to let us know about his kingdom. But his kingdom is so other, his kingdom is so different than the world that we're used to, that he can't say the kingdom of heaven is. He can only say it's like this. He can just do his best to try to make some connections, some metaphors. There's no way to really fully describe what the kingdom of heaven is. The best you can do is just kind of say what it's like. It's like this, and to give these points of connection. And so Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like this: a landowner, a farmer. He went out to hire laborers for his vineyard." And the context in which this parable is told is first century Palestine. And in those days, many of the poor, they lived without regular employment. And so they just lived kind of one day to the next, picking up whatever daily work, whatever temporary daily work they could pick up, whatever work was available just for that day. The marketplace was the meeting place. It was the central location where those who needed jobs would meet up with those who needed workers. And one day, this farmer, he got to the marketplace about sunrise, and that's where he met the early birds, the ones who got up bright and early at the crack of dawn, eager to work, needing to put food on the family tables. And so the landowner offered them, each of them, one denarii. Now, one denarii was one day's wage. It was a common worker's day's wage. It was a fair wage for a day's work. So the farmer sent the sunrise crew to work in his vineyard for that day. Then about 9 in the morning, the farmer went out again, and he saw another group gathered in the marketplace. And very specifically, he noticed that they are doing nothing. They're doing nothing. So the farmer says, "Come, work for me and I'll pay you." And he just says, he doesn't give a dollar amount here. He says, I'm going to pay you what's right. I will do right by you. No dollar amount, no contract, just a handshake and the farmer's word. So the 9 o'clock crew got to work in the vineyard. And then the farmer went out again at noon and went again at 3 o'clock. And the same thing happened each time. Each time he got to the marketplace, he found workers standing there. And each time they're doing nothing. And the farmer says to them, "Come with me and I'll give you work. And come with me and I'll pay you and I'll do right by you." And finally, at the end of the day, the farmer made one last spin through the town. It was 5 o'clock in the evening. Just about an hour of daylight was left. And by this point of the day, the early bird crew, they're already washing their tools, right? They're already winding down for the day, 5 o'clock in the evening. 5 o'clock in the evening, the farmer gets to the marketplace and he found yet another group of people standing there doing nothing. And so the farmer asked this 5 o'clock group of people gathered, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because nobody's hired us. We're the leftovers. We're the skinny and the sickly. We're pretty much the bottom of the barrel. We're standing here right now because all day long nobody has wanted us." Maybe this group of people, maybe they had been overlooked. Maybe they were unwanted. Could be that they were lazy. Maybe they slept in. Maybe they goofed off all day and didn't get anything done. Who knows? Who knows the reason why? But they said, nobody wants us, and that's why we're here. And so they just stood there. And once again, very specifically, they stood there doing nothing. So the farmer says to the 5 o'clock crowd, get in the truck. Let's go to work. Then about 6 o'clock, the sun went down, the whistle blew, the work was done. The early bird crew, they dragged in from the vineyard, sunburned and sopping wet and caked in dirt and covered in calluses. And the 5 o'clock crew, they had hardly broken a sweat. Now, when you only work one day at a time, every day that you work is payday. So the workers came in to get their wages, and the farmer instructed his supervisor very specifically, very intentionally, I want you to pay all the people who work today, but I want you to start with, he says, don't start with the early bird crew. Don't start with the ones who got here first. Start instead with the ones who got here last. Start with them and work your way back as you hand out the paychecks. Work your way back to the crew who got here first. So the supervisor paid the 5 o'clock crew, and each of them received one denarius. The equivalent of a whole day's wage for 1 hour of work. And folks, it's at this point of the story that everybody in this line waiting to get paid has got to be happy, right? They've got to be happy. The 5 o'clock crew is pretty happy because they're getting a whole day's wage for just an hour of work that they put in. The early bird crew at the other end of the line, they're probably thinking to themselves, well, if they get a whole day's wage for an hour's worth of work, does that mean, they're doing the math in their heads, does that mean we're going to get 12 days of wages out of this? And all of the workers in between who worked varying hours throughout the day, they were thrilled at the prospect of making several days' wages for several hours of work. And so all of them stood in that line anxiously, waiting to get their paychecks. They're already spending the money in their heads. And so then the supervisor, he goes down the line, starting at this end first, starting at the end where the workers who got there last. And the supervisor goes down the line, putting envelopes in hands, and every single worker that day received one denarius. One day's wage, regardless of how many hours each of them had worked. And the ones at the back of the line grumbled. They grumbled. You know, that's what God's people do, right? God's people grumble. God's people have this history of grumbling. It goes all the way back to the Israelites in the wilderness when God wasn't doing enough for them, right? So they grumbled. We want meat. Grumbled. We want to go back to Egypt. They grumbled. We want to go back to make it. We want to go back to having everything laid out for us for our meals. Yeah, we were slaves back there, but at least we got regular food. They grumbled. They grumbled. They grumbled. And all God's people throughout history have been a grumbling people. Not us. I'm talking about other churches, right? Not any of us. I'm not talking. We're not grumbling, are we? You know how those other churches are. There's grumbling people in those other churches. And so they grumbled. And the ones at the back of the line, the early birds, they began to grumble. We've been cheated, boys. And they grumbled. Where's the labor union when you need it? And they grumbled. What happened to equal pay? What happened to fair wages? And they grumbled. Those people on the other end of the line, they got here too late. They did too little, and they got paid too much. They grumbled. Folks, when you read this story, don't sit there and pretend that this story makes sense to you just because it's in the Bible. Don't do that. Don't sit there and say, well, it's in the Bible, so it makes sense. Yeah, this story makes sense. Don't do that. It doesn't. It doesn't. And that's part of the point. The truth is, if this story happened to you, think about this. If this story happened to you, of all of the stories in the Bible, I think maybe this story should offend you the most. Of all the stories in the Bible, I think this story might be the story that should offend you most. You good, early rising, hardworking Humphreys County people. That's what you are. If there's any story that should offend you in the whole Bible, this should probably be it. This is kind of a slap in the face to a good work ethic. It's kind of like students in class are assigned to work on projects, and some of the students in the class start weeks early, and they give hours upon hours to this assignment, and they put so much money and effort and time and into it, and they turn in perfection. And the other students in the class, they wait until the night before, and they throw something sloppy together, and everybody gets an A. Or it's kind of like, here we are almost to October. It's kind of like the commissioner of baseball declaring that the Atlanta Braves, even though they are 23 games out of first place in their division, the commissioner of baseball says, we're going to let you boys play ball in October with the Dodgers and the Red Sox. Or it's kind of like at the Chili Challenge at the Fuel Fest on October the 14th from 3 to 7 p.m., many of you plan for weeks. I mean, you dig up the family recipes and you know you get grandma's recipe and you're working on it and you're testing it, you're trying it out on your family, and a little bit more of this, and I'm gonna work on it, do a little bit less of that, and I'm gonna keep tweaking your recipe until you get it to be just right. And then the night before the chili challenge, Eugene Woodside runs to Walmart, picks up a can of store-bought chili, throws it in the microwave, and then takes it to the chili challenge and sets it right next to yours, and both of you get the blue ribbon. That's what this story is like. Folks, if this story makes sense to you, then read it again. Read it again. You know, I'm thinking about this story, and I'm thinking, if this farmer, okay, yeah, he's right. The farmer has the right to pay everybody what he wants to. He does. He has the right to do what he wants with his own money. He does. He has that right. But if this farmer really felt the need to pay everybody the same, you know, he could have started with this end of the line. He could have paid the ones who got here first. He could have paid the Sunrise crew first. And if he had paid them in the other order, once everybody got their check in their hand, they could have taken off and nobody would have been any wiser, and it would have kept the peace in the situation. But that's not what the farmer wanted. That's not what Jesus wanted in telling the story. The farmer intentionally had the supervisor start at this end with the 5 o'clock crew first, pay them working backwards in backwards order so that the ones who came first that day would know what was going on, because the landowner wanted to send them a message. Jesus is telling this story to tell us what the kingdom of heaven is like. He's telling us this story to tell us what the heavenly farmer is like. Let's talk about the farmer for a minute. This is one strange farmer. This farmer in this story, he's unlike any other farmer. I know some farmers. Some of you are farmers. And this farmer is not like any farmer I know. For starters, he's never at the farm. Right? This farmer is never at the farm. He's constantly in his pickup wearing out the road, going back and forth, farm to town, farm to town, farm to town. He's never at the farm. You get the sense that he cares more about the workers than he does the farm. You get the sense that what he wants most is for these workers to work. You get the sense that this farmer is laser focused, that he's got this singleness of purpose, that he's all about getting workers to work, that he cares about workers working more than he cares about the farm itself. He cares about workers working more than he cares about crops or profits or the land or anything else. This farmer is focused on getting workers to work. And this farmer doesn't put the workers to work because he needs them. We're not told that in the parable at all. We're not told that he needs workers. We're not told that. We're told that he keeps putting them to work because they're doing nothing. That's what's motivating him to get them to put them to work. It's like this farmer cannot stand idle people. He cannot stand people being idle. He has to get hold of them and put them to work. This farmer, he doesn't do business as usual. He doesn't give everybody what they deserve. He is not bound to operate the way that every other farmer tends to operate. This farmer is free to do as he chooses. This farmer is not fair, but he is generous. He's not fair, but he's generous. This story is about God, and this story is about you. God is the farmer who left the farm. He is the God who has worn out the path between heaven and earth, back and forth, to get you, to get hold of you, so that you would do his work. He wants you to work for him. He wants you to do more than believe. He wants to put you to work. Statistics show that in most churches, about 20% of the people are the ones who do the work. And I always run the risk when I talk about this of when I say, church, we need to get to work. It's those 20% who are already doing so much of the work that feel guilty and feel burdened even more to wear themselves to the bone even more and do even more work. And so there are some of us who need to hear this. Thank you for the work that you do, and don't feel like you need to keep doing more work. And there are some of us who need to hear this. Get to work for Jesus. And it's up to each of us to pray and discern how the Lord is speaking to us along those lines. God wants workers for his harvest. Not because he needs you. He doesn't need you. But he wants workers for his harvest because he can't stand you being idle. He is calling you to be about his work. This story is not about contracts and wages and rewards. This story is not about fair compensation. This story is really about grace. That's what this story is about. It's about grace. N.T. Wright says, God's grace is not the sort of thing that you can bargain with or try to store up. It isn't the sort of thing that one person can have a lot of and someone else can only have a little of. The point of the story is that what people get from having served God and God's kingdom is not actually a wage at all. It's not a wage. It is not a reward for work done. God doesn't make contracts with us as if we could bargain and negotiate for a better deal. God makes covenants with us in which he promises us everything and in which he asks everything of us in return. And when God keeps his promise, he is not rewarding us for effort, but he is doing what comes naturally to his overflowing generous nature. It's his grace. The world that we live in works a certain way. You get what you deserve. You deserve what you get. You work for what you get. You get what you work for. It's all about fairness and trying to be as even as we can. That's business as usual for the world. That's how the world operated in Jesus' day, and that's how our world that we live in operates today. And so Jesus begins this parable, and at the beginning of this parable, at first it seems like the way that Jesus is telling this story, that this parable is going to be just the way that the world works. You work, you get paid, and what's fair is fair. That's the direction this parable is going in the beginning, and then everybody's supposed to get what they deserve, and it's supposed to confirm what everybody believes about the way that the world is supposed to work. And then at the end of the parable takes this sharp turn, a twist. There's the surprise, there's the shock. It's almost like a trap door opens underneath your feet. And Jesus says, no, my kingdom is not like the world. My kingdom does not operate according to the ways of the world. My kingdom is not about people getting what they deserve. My kingdom is not about business as usual. My kingdom is different because I'm a different kind of a God, he says. My kingdom is not about fairness. My kingdom is about grace. Grace means that you do not get what you deserve. And church, I want to tell you today, I'm glad that I don't get what I deserve. But you know what? Grace also means that those around me don't get what they deserve either, whether I like it or not. Whether it offends me or not, others around me are afforded grace as well. God's grace for me is for those around me just as much as God's grace is for me. I might think that I work harder. I might think that I work longer. I might think that I deserve it more than they do. But the truth is, none of us gets what we deserve, and that is what grace is. So whether you find yourself at the front of the line or the back of the line, and at this point I'm confused which is the front and which is the back, right? And that's part of the point. The fact that you're in the line at all, that's grace. That's grace. And when I've heard this parable taught and preached, most of the time the point has to do with heaven. It goes something like this. Some of us are going to work our whole lives for Jesus, and then others of us are going to live like the devil and then ask for deathbed forgiveness and barely slip into heaven at the last second like the thief on the cross, and we're all going to be in the same heaven. That's kind of what this story's about. And I believe that's true. I believe that's true. I do. But I believe that this parable says more than that. It's not just about how heaven's going to be one day, but it's also about how we are called to live today. Jesus didn't say the kingdom of heaven will be like this. He says the kingdom of heaven is like this. He says it's a present reality. It's not just a future hope. The kingdom of heaven is a present reality. The kingdom of heaven is among us now. The kingdom of heaven is within us now. The kingdom of heaven is upon us now and throughout us now. So this story isn't just telling us to be okay with how heaven is going to be one day when those scoundrels get in. But this parable is also talking to us about how we need to live in these days, to operate our lives not like the business as usual world where fair is fair and we're supposed to be even and everybody gets what they deserve, but in the ways that we treat others. You have received grace from God. Extend grace toward others. Let your life be ordered not by everybody getting what they deserve, but let your life be ordered by God's grace. And may you treat others accordingly. Be less fair and be more generous. Be less fair and be more generous, because that's what God is like. Be less grumbling and be more gracious, because that's what God is like. Stop counting, stop calculating, stop measuring out what everybody deserves. Stop trying to make everything even. Instead, begin to imagine a world that operates by grace and then live like it. That world is called the kingdom of heaven. A world that operates by God's grace. We are here, church. The kingdom of heaven is upon us and within us. We're here not to live like the world where everybody deserves what they get and everybody gets what they deserve. But in the ways that we deal with others, we are here to show the world what the kingdom of heaven is like. Let it be so. Would you stand with me?